Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I finally have my voice back a little bit, so I do have a cough drop in my mouth right now, so if that gets in the way, I'm sorry about that. I'm still fighting to get my voice back. It's still a little bit gravelly, but we'll work with what we have this morning. Scott told me that I was going to be preaching twice today. That's not the case because we have a singing tonight. So I had a two-part lesson planned, and I don't have enough time this morning to go through both parts, so we're going to do something a little bit different. I appreciate Josh leading those songs this morning on faith and the subject of faith, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, growing in faith. And it's a simple concept, and it's something that we all know, but it's something that we need to remind ourselves of because sometimes it often gets swept under the rug of what exactly faith is and what faith does in our lives. You've probably heard the phrase, do you have any last words? That phrase, that's a familiar thing that we hear. And we often hear that at someone's execution, the last words that someone's going to say before they die. Why do we do that? Why do we ask someone, do they have any last words? Well, I think it's because we realize the importance of words and of what people have to say, especially when they're at the end of their life. So with that in mind, turn over in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter is one of my most favorite books, along with 2 Timothy, and I like them both for the same reason. It's because of the urgency with which both of these letters are written. They're short letters, and they're jam-packed full of important things, but they're so urgent and so straightforward, and I think that's for a really important reason. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 14, Peter says, "Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." And Paul will say a similar thing in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, near the end of that letter, he says in verse 6, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Paul and Peter both realize that they're near the end of their life. And there are some important things that they need to tell the Christians that they're writing to, that Paul needs to tell Timothy and that Peter needs to tell these Christians. And I think that it's all summed up really well of what Peter wants to tell the Christians in his letter in the very last verse of 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18. Peter says, "But grow." He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen." The very last thing that Peter has to say in the written documents that we have is grow. Christians grow. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge. And we all understand that. We all know that we need to grow. But what exactly does that look like? Well, back at the beginning of 1 Peter, he gives us a kind of visual of what that needs to be. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, starting, he says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, make every effort to supplement your faith with all of these things and add them to your life so that you can grow as a Christian. You know, physical growth, it just kind of happens, right? You just kind of wake up and you're a little bit taller that next day, and you don't really have to think about it. And your fingernails grow naturally, and you have to trim them back down. And your hair grows sometimes. My hair is starting to fall out, and I'm too young for that. But sometimes your hair grows. I do have facial hair, so it grows in that area. But it just happens. Growth physically happens. You don't have to concentrate, okay, today I'm going to grow 2 inches, and really focus on that. It just happens. That's not how spiritual growth works. Peter says, make every effort to supplement your faith. I want to ask you all this morning a very important question. Are you making every effort to grow as a Christian? I wish that I could stand up here and answer that question for every person, that I could point at each person and say, yes, 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 you're all making every effort to grow, but I don't know. And frankly, it's hard for me to even see that, to see if you're making every effort. But you know if you're making every effort. Scott knows if Scott is making every effort to grow. Natalie knows if Natalie is making every effort to grow. And certainly God knows if we're making every effort to grow. And we need to be making every single effort. The word that's used there, and I say this not because I'm a Greek scholar, and hopefully I'm doing this correctly, and Scott will let me know later on if I'm not, but the word there, supplement or add, in verse 5, the Greek word there is epikourgeo. And I say that because of what the root word in that word is. Epikourgeo. The root word is chorigeo. Does that sound familiar to you? It's where we get the word choreograph from. All of these things that Paul lists here that we add into our lives are to be choreographed in our life, to be working together in harmony to make something beautiful. That's what a choreographer does. And so we need to add all of these things. But as with every great choreography, there needs to be a solid base. There needs to be a starting point where we go. And that's why Peter says, faith is what you supplement. Faith is the thing that you add to. And so I want to talk about faith today, about what our faith actually is and how it works. So look over in Hebrews chapter 11. You probably know, if I ask the simple yes or no question of, do you know what faith is? I would venture to say that everyone in this room would say, yes, I know what faith is. But if I went just a little bit further and I asked you, well, define faith for me, what would you say? You'd probably say the same thing that I said whenever I was growing up, and that I learned, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which we're going to read here in a second. What does that mean? I have no idea what the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen is. That's some weird King James Version translation. No, we don't talk like that today. The ESV reads like this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a word that we use a lot of times in the religious world, but it's used by a lot of people as just a belief in God. Do you believe in God? If you do, oh yeah, you have faith. Great. And then we kind of stop right there. But that's not what the Hebrew writer says here. It's a multifaceted idea. And so I want to break down this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with the first thing that the writer says that it is. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Josh led the song earlier, the faith of our fathers, that holy faith that we read about. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have records of our fathers and their faith that they had, and namely Abraham's faith. And so I want to look at Abraham's faith. Look at chapter 11, verse 8 of Hebrews. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, oftentimes we picture faith as kind of an unsure thing, like we're walking out on this rickety bridge, and we really hope that we're right, and we're kind of 60-40 in on this whole faith idea, and that we trust in God. But that's not what biblical faith is. Do you think that Abraham, whenever God told him to pack up his things and go somewhere, and he had no idea where he was going, do you think Abraham was 60-40 in on that? Like, I really hope that God knows what he's doing, and I guess I'll go along with what he's saying. It says that Abraham went as soon as he was called, and he had no idea where he was going. That sounds like somebody who is sure of God's promises. God promised Abraham that he would become a large nation, that he would be blessed with all this land, and that through his seed, all of the nations would be blessed through Jesus. And Abraham believed that 100%, and he lived his life according to that. And he went. Do we go as Christians? Are we sure as Christians of God's promises for us? God has promised us a similar thing that he promised to Abraham. He's promised us a heavenly country. We get to go to heaven. Are we sure of that? Sometimes I find in my own life that I'm thinking, oh man, I really hope that I'm going to heaven. I really hope that God can get me to heaven. I'm not really sure, though. God can. He can get us to heaven. And that's where we're headed if we have faith in him. It's the surety that God will fulfill his promises to us. But that's not where faith stops. Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is also the conviction of things not seen. Conviction is a really interesting word. I love that word, conviction. Because conviction is something that our society kind of struggles with. We don't want to be 100% all in on things. We don't want to be convicted of anything. We want to have our options open just in case plan A fails, we have plan B. We don't like to be convicted in things. But faith is a conviction in God, being 100% all in. And more than that, it's a conviction of what you can't even see. Look back at Abraham. Abraham in verse 9 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith he, Abraham, went to live in the land of promise in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This city that Abraham was looking for, Abraham hadn't seen before. But he was still so convinced of it that he lived there waiting for it. He was 100% all in. He wasn't just walking out on that rickety bridge thinking that God was maybe going to fulfill his promises to him. He was sure of it to the point where he changed his entire life. He left what he was comfortable with and went somewhere where he wasn't comfortable because God said to him, because he trusted in God. That's what faith is. It's surety, it's conviction, it's trust that God will fulfill his promises and that God acts in our lives. And one of the most famous stories of Abraham, which we have recorded here in Hebrews 11, that Abraham offered his son Isaac. When we read that story in Genesis, we can often kind of speculate of what that must have been like. Now, I don't have a son, but I have a father, so I can kind of be in the same position as Isaac. That three-day journey would have been kind of strange for me as a son, especially at the point where Isaac, they get to the mountain, they start walking up, and Isaac says, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, where's the sacrifice? He knew we were going to sacrifice something, where's that at? And what that must have been like for Abraham, and we can talk about that, about what might have been going through Abraham's head in that moment, but we don't have to when we get to Hebrews. We can see what Abraham was thinking. Look down Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 17. It says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and who he had received the promise and was acting by offering his son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham was so sure and had such great faith in God that he believed that God would raise his son from the dead if he had to kill him, because of the promise that God made him. Now, unless it's not recorded for us, up until this point in history when Abraham was living, no one had ever been raised from the dead. This would have been a foreign idea to Abraham. But he was so convicted and so sure of God that the impossible was so possible with God in Abraham's mind. He was convicted of that. It changed his entire lifestyle. And it made him sure. But all of that, that's not even where faith stops in this chapter. Look back just a few verses in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. When you read that verse, we often break that verse down into two main points. The first is at the beginning that it is impossible to please God without faith. And the second point that we usually get from that is at the end, that you must believe that God exists, and certainly God does exist, and that he rewards those who seek him. But oftentimes we skip over the middle of that verse. In the middle of that verse it says, for whoever would draw near to God. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. Have you ever thought about faith like that? That's how we have a relationship with God. Without faith, we can't even come into God's presence. We can't have a relationship with God. It's the foundation, the starting point. Foundations are so important. And we understand foundations, don't we? Whenever I was younger, I used to have Lincoln Logs. You guys know what Lincoln Logs are, kind of, a little bit. I don't know if they're still around. I don't play with them anymore. But Lincoln Logs. And my favorite thing to do with Lincoln Logs, and you parents and guys out in the audience will understand. My favorite thing to do was to build something tall and then knock it over. Because why else does a guy build things with Lincoln Logs, right? And I started to realize, even at a really young age, whenever I was building things up, that the taller that I wanted to go, the wider I had to make the base. Because if you try to build a 6-foot-tall tower with a base that's about this big, it's not going to work. And you're not going to get the satisfaction of knocking it over. So in order to get that satisfaction, make the base big. Even things in our man-made world, things that are man-made, we understand that. We see things like the pyramids in Egypt. They have a pretty big base. We see the Eiffel Tower in Paris. It's a pretty big base, right? The taller you want to go, the bigger the base has to be. It's the same way with faith. The taller that we want to grow as Christians, the bigger our foundation of faith has to be. And we don't think of faith like that. Faith, like I said before, is something that you either have or you don't. Sometimes. That you either believe that God exists or you don't. But faith grows, and it needs to grow. Jesus would say to his disciples whenever they were falling short in some area, the common thing that he would say to them is, "Oh, you of little faith." I find that really interesting that Jesus says that. He doesn't say, "Oh, you have no faith." He says, "You of little faith." So it's possible to have faith but not have enough faith. And the apostles themselves, in I believe it's Luke chapter 17, look over really quickly at Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus gives the apostles kind of a hard teaching that they're struggling with. And he says to them, starting in verse 3, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And then the apostles say this, "Increase our faith. Give us more faith." Well, how do we get more faith? How do we increase our faith today? Well, I think that there are a couple of specific ways that we do that. In John chapter 20, look what John has to say at the end of his gospel. John chapter 20, starting in verse 30. He says, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And Paul will say to the Romans in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to have more faith, I think it's appropriate to pray for more faith, to ask God to give you more faith, to increase my faith. But dive into the Bible. Read God's word. That will increase your faith. When you see the plan of God that extends throughout all of time, that from the beginning he made this great plan to save us, that should increase your faith. When you see the continuity of Scripture and how everything works together so perfectly, that should increase your faith. There are so many different authors and writers and over a huge span of time that wrote the Bible, and it all works together. That's amazing. When you see the fulfilled prophecy of Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, and thousands of years before Jesus was even born, and that Jesus fulfilled all of them, not just a few, all of them, that should increase your faith. And that should help you to be sure of God's promises. If God can keep 1,000-year-old promises, God will keep every promise that he has made. Faith is such an important thing. It's the surety that we have in God's promises. It's the conviction that leads us to act on those promises. Paul will refer to faith in the beginning of the Roman letter and the end of the Roman letter as an obedient faith. Faith is something that you act on. I like it. The Nike logo or symbol is the little check mark and just do it. Faith is something that you do. It's not something that you have. It's what you do. And that's the faith that we read about in the Bible. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to have faith. Paul will say to Timothy in the first letter that he wrote to him in 1 Timothy chapter 6. One of the later things that he says in this letter is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Pursue faith. Fight the fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. It's an active thing that needs to be an active thing in our life. And we need to be diligent about that. We need to be diligent about trusting in God, about being sure of his promises and being convicted so that we fight the fight of faith. And that's why Paul will later say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we walk by faith and not by sight. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus. But I have faith in them. I'm sure that Jesus died for my sins and that my sins are forgiven because of his sacrifice. I'm convicted that because of that, I'm going to live my life according to what he wants me to do in this book. And that's 100% positive because God never breaks his promises. God is true always. That's what faith really is. It's not just, do we believe in God? Are you a believer? People will ask me sometimes when I have conversations with them, are you a believer? And I say, yes, I'm a believer. Are you a believer? And they say, yes. But faith reaches so much more deeper into our lives than just believing that God exists. It's believing that God will act like he said that he will. We're going to sing a song here in just a second. I know not why, God's wondrous grace. And the chorus of this song is taken from 2 Timothy, one of the things that Paul told Timothy. In the song it says, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that God will keep what he has given me until that day. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Jesus is? And do you know what they've done for you? Because if you do, you should be thoroughly convinced that they can keep your soul until the day of judgment. Just like Paul was convinced, just like Peter was convinced. We need to be convinced. We need to have faith in our lives, because it's the very foundation of our relationship, and it's what pushes us in our lives as Christians to grow closer to God and to grow in God's grace. Faith is so important. And so if you have faith this morning that's faltering and you need encouragement, that's another reason why we gather together, is to encourage each other, to build each other up in faith so that we can lean on each other and so that we can lean on God. And if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, and you need to, and you know who he is and what he's done for you, let him save you this morning. Have faith that he has the power to save you. So whatever you need to do this morning, please come forward and do that now while together we stand and sing.